4. Here he uses abandonatamente ma con freddezza. Read the hyacinth, for there is writing on it. The pictorial process. A brushstroke crosses the surface. A hand, it seems implied, holds the brush. Behind, or anyway linked somehow with the hand that holds the brush, there is a mind with certain intentions and understandings. That hand moves at the bidding of that mind. Right? Well, maybe. But that mind, for its own reasons, tries to cloak itself in mystery. Still, mystery or not, the whiteness of the surface keeps getting stained. And the hand, will it lose conviction, falter, and cease? Or will it fake conviction, slash its streak? Regard, in a Cretan grove, girls bruise soft grass blades with their nimble feet. I lie back and look at the ceiling. There is a humming in the near distance. There are white, ricocheting light particles. Late, late, the moon has set and bare run down the sky. The vine-clad one dances wildly in the moonlight, surrounded by vine-dripping satyrs and nymphs. The hillsides gleam around them. The brush stroke crosses the painting, then crosses again in the other direction, wiping out the former marks, or nuancing them. Distant laughter spills like faint hints of light over the rocks. Trees breathe softly, nearly still. Earth smells frankly dirt, and underneath it all, both night and morning remain unexplained. Or does the cold, clear call of the sky explain them? Now look. The writing on the hyacinth is pretty, curly, colorized. Go on, read the hyacinth. What on earth does the writing say? Please tell. Well, okay. The writing on the hyacinth claims that it sprang spontaneously from the earth, driven upward through the sappy loam, through the frosty crust, through the erupting tarmac, by love of a beautiful youth. Your spirit moving forward, dark smell of the road. Read the goddamn hyacinth. You told me first, you stop, you told me first, stop first. It was born from him when he died. It laments at the start of spring. Black water, born from black water. Let not the meadow delay you with the flower. The painting tells you that the hair of the youth is hyacinth bean, and that his blood has given that flower its own crimson color. Sadness pulls the corners of my mouth down. I can feel it like a gravitational pull. I wish I could be only a viewer of the painting. The dread of narrative is a dread of being caught in a magic circle. The dream turns nightmare, the dead float away. Here, my boy, is a stone slab with incised lines to give a firm footing to an athlete. As for the attitude of the man holding the discus, he must turn his head to the right and bend himself around so far that he can look down at his side, and he must hurl that darn discus by drawing himself up and putting his whole right side into the throw. Terrible is the failure to hit the mark, and incredible is the story. And now that the discus has struck the youth, he lies there, straight of leg, not unpracticed in running. Look, boy, the fine lines of the bones are indicated under the flesh. But Apollo, with averted face, gazes down at the ground. He is fixed there, such consternation has befallen him. And what a lout is Zephyrus, who was angry with Apollo and caused the discus to strike the youth. But the scene seems a laughing matter to the wind, and he taunts the god from his lookout. You can see him there, I think, with his winged temples and his delicate form. And he wears a crown of all kinds of flowers and will soon leave the hyacinth in a month.